Good afternoon and welcome to Todd Quint's SharePoint podcast number 321, recorded live Monday, January 2nd, 2016 from Cincinnati, Ohio. I am your host, Shane Young. That's right. No Todd today. This is not one of those cases where he can't figure out how to flip the screen. He just didn't show up. So you're stuck with just me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm really excited. I'm hoping this means that he didn't make it through his New Year Eve plans, right? I know he had a lot of crazy shenanigans going on, so I'm hoping he was kidnapped or, you know, they finally busted him for messing up Mariah Carey's audio lip-syncing problems. I don't know what it was, but I haven't physically seen him since. Got a message or two from him, so, you know, maybe the kidnappers are letting him type. Maybe I should try and read if there's Morse code in there or something, but not my problem. So anyway, no Todd. Just me today. And as you all know, if you need any help from me, you can always find me good old Bold Zebras, www.boldzebras.com, or check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ShaneYoungCloud, all one big long string of characters. Also, you'll notice that keeping up my New Year's resolutions, I've got some weight slipped back there, right? I lifted weights today, lifted them all the way up onto that shelf. So we'd have some good scenery in the background. Probably about as far as my New Year's resolutions will go. Also need to thank the other sponsors, the people that give Todd a paycheck every month. Who knows why they do it, but they do. That's your friends at Rackspace. If you need Rackspace, any SharePoint hosting, go to sharepoint.rackspace.com. Or if you need any of the other stuff, all those fun things I invented while I used to work there, whether it's the Azure stuff or the any of the Microsoft offerings, you can go to rackspace.com/Microsoft. So that sponsor stuff, let's see, production notes. Yeah, and the other thing here in production notes, right now you should know for this episode, there's no Todd, yay. There is no Lori, though. So our executive producer is also stuck in a car traveling from her in-laws where apparently they didn't have internet. It's a little upset. Stone Ages were a little rough on the girl. So she's not here. The hooligans, all of you are missing today. Turns out that just my good friend Daniel Glenn, my good friend, you're right. That guy named Daniel Glenn who shows up all the time is in the chat room all by his lonesome because none of you showed up. So I was going to have him on the show, but then, I made up some technical excuses why we couldn't have him on the show. So poor guy, what do you do? Oh, and he just heard the part about me calling his good friend, so he's typing now. Can't wait to see what he types. Yep, that's what I thought he was going to type. All right. So production notes, everything is published. Everything's out, so we are current. The only minor exception to that is the Channel 9 stuff has not been approved. So it's all written and done. It's just sitting in a queue. But since the people that approved that are not working, just like all of you didn't work today, it's taking a little longer than usual. But that's good. And just a reminder, right? You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on Channel 9. You can subscribe to the audio-only version of the podcast or the video version of the podcast. You can get us on iTunes, all those fun different places. So check out the show where you can. And then always you have the option to come watch us live. We're over here on the Slack channel right now where my good friend Daniel Glenn is typing by himself. So come and join us next time Daniel doesn't have to be by himself. All right. The other neat thing, you know, one of the apps that I've been using since my Windows Phone days is an app called News 360. It's a nice little app. This kind of brings in news from sources all over the internet, you know, far and wide. Gives you a good perspective. I like to read, you know, not only, really, I never read local news. Like here, Cincinnati news, I know nothing that's going on. I do keep up with the U.S. news, but the News 360 does a good job of kind of pulling from sources outside the U.S. as well. So it kind of gives me that, you know, fair and balanced approach to steal Fox's thing, where I kind of get to see some news from different outlets. So anyway, been using News 360 for a long time. And I was flipping through it over the holiday break while I was stuck at my in-laws. And I actually found Todd and I's shows, right? We've been publishing on Petrie.com, the other place that you can get us. And I found those Petrie articles about the show that I write published into the News 360 app. So there you go. Circle of life is complete. I've created content that will show up on my phone eventually so I can read about what I wrote about. It's very confusing, very overwhelming, quite frankly. But anyway, good to know. All right. On the topics front here, we got a few. I will even start with some SharePoint topics. Hopefully we won't go too long here today. I know the last show was about an hour and it was really just Todd and I jibber jabbering for an hour. So this show will not, there will be no Todd to jibber jabber with me. But yeah, over the holidays, one of the things that I got to do was I actually had a customer reach out who wanted me to build them a SharePoint 2013 business intelligence farm. Been a while since I've been doing that. But it was kind of fun, right? Get back in there, be able to build a farm. And so as part of that, I got to build the farm for them. I built it out on Azure. And they're actually over in Asia, India to be more exact. And it was very interesting. I learned a few different things about Azure over there that I didn't know about over here. And so one of those I found interesting was, even though they were in India, right, it was a customer's account, they had signed up for it, they have to go through a process in order to be able to use the India data center. So they actually didn't have access to it. They didn't want to mess with the process. So we ended up building it over in Southeast Asia for these guys. And so I thought that was kind of fun, right? You know, whole half a continent away from where they were at. And it turns out the guy was traveling while I was doing it, and he went the other way on the continent. So he was pretty far. But, you know, I spent the couple of days building out the farm there. And doing it from here in Cincinnati, I was pretty impressed with the speeds. You know, remote desktoping into Azure servers, right, because we're doing infrastructure as a service, that were running in Southeast Asia, I had zero problems. The latency wasn't an issue. You know, wasn't any problems connecting, you know, the magical firewalls all let everything through. So I just found that really neat that, you know, I remember the old days when you had a hard time RDPing into a server that was in the office when you were here at home, right? The internet was so bad. But so now we've kind of gotten to the point where the internet is so good that I'm RDPing into a server that is literally on the other side of the globe. And it is, it was fine. I had not a single issue. So just thought you guys might find that interesting, you know. You probably all work remotely like that all the time. Like, yeah, what are you talking about? It's no big deal. But for me, it was the first time I'd had to RDP into Asia, and it worked well. So I thought I'd give kudos to them. While I was doing – Daniel, you are killing me. See, Daniel's just commentating just for me now, so it's a little upsetting here. But anyway, while I was building the farm, one of the things I found really fun, right, you guys can enjoy, poke fun at me, but I had to patch the farm, right, because you didn't want to just give them a 2013 build. So I put Service Pack 1 on. That was fine. And then post-Service Pack 1, I put the latest December 2016 CU on because it was out, and they said just, you know, patch away. And I did it. I clicked on it, right, and I just kind of wasn't paying attention. Hour later, I'm like, you know, this is going really slow. And about half an hour after that, it dawned on me, remember that Rust Max script that we talk about, right? You need to be using that script because it goes in, it shuts off all the services. And so, you know, I just canceled out that patching installation I was going because I hadn't done anything besides it was trying to extract the files and do that type of stuff. I canceled out, rebooted, I ran the Rust Max script to shut everything down. Then I ran the patch, it ran in like 20 or 30 minutes, and then I turned it all back off again. So just one of those words to the wise, right? Don't forget about your patching scripts. The other crazy thing about that whole process was I actually had to bust out the old school, right? I got out our good old SharePoint 2013 administration book, which I have about a dozen copies if any of you'd like to buy a copy of the book. If not, they do a great job of holding my table down. But I actually busted out the book and followed the BI chapter in there that I'd written with a friend of mine, Tavis Lovell, and a couple other people's help. And it actually still all worked. I was as shocked as you probably are right now, right? I used a physical book, I followed the instructions, and they were correct. I have no words for that. It was shocking. But anyway, just thought you guys would kind of like to know, you know, I was doing that. If you ever need a farm built, happy to build one for you too. So that was the extent of my SharePoint content for today. It turns out that, you know, just like all you Slackers who haven't been working for the last few days, or me who hasn't worked for like a year now, I really need to get a job. You guys hiring? But no one really did anything in the last couple of weeks. There wasn't any new technical articles to publish or talk about or any of that type of content. So pretty light again on the tech content. But there you go. You had my one story. I have been reading a bunch of, you know, what's going to be hot in SharePoint or in 2017, or, you know, 13 ways tech will be different in 2017. Number 6 is really amazing. A lot of those type of articles. And all I can tell you is that they're all terrible. I was literally reading one of the news sources that I read, and I would say that probably 2/3 of the articles had a number in it, right? It was either, you know, 6 ways of this or 217% of that, or every single one of them was this, you know, sensationalized list concept for their articles, and every one was just bad. I don't know. I find it interesting. I think a lot of it is, you know, people complain about the poor journalism and stuff, and it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The average person will only read an article that is the seven great ways that, you know, the Kardashians are going to make your 2017 better. Number three will really blow your mind. So people only click on those articles, but then people like me complain that those are the only articles that get written. And so there just seems to be this constant vicious cycle of bad articles being written, because that's the only things people will go to, you know, hard hitting those long articles with lots of words. Those are no fun. I need bullet points. This obsession with bullet points is just wearing me out, as I look at all my notes that are in bullet points here, because that's what notes are for, bullet points. Articles should be content. So anyway, more bad journalism. That's what the world's going. We also had scheduled, I'm going to do it even though Todd didn't show up, but we were going to have our 2017 starting, we're going to have Festivus, right? Surely you all remember Festivus from the 97 episode of Seinfeld, where they do the airing of the grievances, right? They have a classic dinner, they look at a pole, they have their pole Christmas tree, and then they, air all their grievances. This is one of the classic episodes of Seinfeld, and it's always a lot of fun. So when you want to complain about stuff, you can just say, hey, I'm not actually doing, I'm not complaining, I'm just celebrating Festivus, and it makes it all okay. The other fun thing about it is Festivus miracles, things like Todd not showing up, that's a Festivus miracle. And those are just things that are easily explained otherwise, but, in the name of doing, having a little fun with it, they're just Festivus miracles when you're just like, hey, I don't know how it happened, even though there's clearly an explanation for it, Todd was kidnapped. All right. Anyway, so my airing of grievances. First one up on the list is our tool Camtasia 9. So Todd and I use Camtasia for a lot of stuff, namely producing the show every week. And we've been using Camtasia in its different iterations for a long time. They're great people. We love TechSmith. We love Camtasia. We love Snagit. But we do want to point out that one of the downsides of Camtasia 9 is there is not a way to export to MP3. So what you used to do with Camtasia 8, and we still do because Todd still has Camtasia 8, is you'd go, he'd produce the show, all the video, all the special effects that make me look so pretty. And then when he was done with it, he'd be able to say produce the video, push that to YouTube and the video locations, and then he could just say save only the audio as an MP3, and boom, we had the MP3 for the audio outlets. Yep, Camtasia 9 decided that MP3 was no longer the cool format. They used some format I've never even heard of, like MAP4 or something. Some whack-a-mole new format that's supposedly better. The problem is no one actually supports it yet, so it doesn't really turn out to be better. So we've put in our feedback. We're hoping that our friends at TechSmith decide to update Camtasia, because we are big fans, but we need to see Camtasia 9 get exported to MP3 for us to be able to get it back into the flow. Next complaint, right? Not complaint. This is Festivus. I'm just airing of the grievances. Blue Yeti. You notice I'm still wearing this terrible headset. And, other than making me not look as beautiful as I normally do, the other problem with this headset is it makes my ears really hot. And I guess today I didn't really need the headphones because the only thing I can hear is myself talking. But either way, I'm wearing the beautiful headset because my mic, which has been broken now for like 2 months, is supposedly on its way back. Hopefully next week it'll show up here. But their support process, they've been helpful, just was kind of like a long delay between all of the different pieces. I mean, literally, it was like, here's my email with all my problems. And then 2 days later, I'd get a very polite email back with, oh, well, here, have you tried this, this, and this? And I was like, yes. Right? I'd respond within 5 minutes. 2 days later, I'd get another response. Boom, 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 boom. Finally, they agreed. They said, here's your RMA. I ship it to them as fast as I can. I email them, hey, you've had my thing for like 2 weeks now. Is it done? You said it'd be 2 or 3 days. 5 minutes after sending that email, they said, oh, yes, your item has been approved for RMA or whatever. We're sending you a new one. So I've got my fingers crossed that it goes, but my Blue Yeti support experience has been very helpful, very fruitful, but very, very slow. The last of my grievances here. Today, I had to print out a bunch of PDFs. I was doing a bunch of, tax documents, bank statements, things like that, all the joys of owning your own businesses. And so I had been just using the PDF browser that's built into Edge with Windows 10. it works fine. Does everything I need, so I haven't complained. But I thought, oh man, this would go a lot faster if I installed Foxit, right? Good old Foxit PDF reader. If you remember, used to be the de facto standard, we'd install Foxit PDF, the iFilter on our SharePoint farms to get all the PDF magical goodness. I installed their app and I was completely underwhelmed. I mean, it was worked. It's still lightweight. It's still small. But, you know, I went, I printed these bank statements and it was like putting black bars over different portions of the document. And I was like, well, maybe that's an error with my printer. The PDF's bad. So I jumped over to Edge, printed them out just fine. So looking at it, it looks like the PDF reader was trying to be helpful and it knew that, you know, it's like, oh, you're showing a check image here. I should black that out for you. I don't know. It was kind of like a Macintosh, right? It's the whole reason I don't use Macs is they always just try to think for you. And so it was, I think it was just trying to think for me. It had to give me a button that said, quit thinking, just print what's on the screen for me. Really infuriated me. So Foxit PDF reader, you're out again, back to just using Edge. That's right. I'm the one person on the planet that uses Edge. And it turns out for PDFs, I'm going to have to be a big fan of that. But with the Microsoft kudos, we have the Microsoft complaints. I've been using Bing News for, I don't know, 10 years now. That's not true. Probably 5 years. All right, that's the whole thing where you say, you know, anytime something comes up that responds to these search results, like Todd Klintz is no longer with us, right? Anytime those things happen on the Bing, it's supposed to send me an email and say, here's the good news. So I don't have to search for that every day. It can just search for me. So I got an update for one of my queries last week sometime. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of news on, you know, that particular topic. What's going on? And so I started looking a little deeper. One of the articles was from 2009, one was from 10, one was from 11, one was 15, and one was November 16. That's right. It was five articles, and the most recent one was a month and a half old. Like, I don't think this is working as designed, guys. So if you're the, you know, people that are in charge of the Bing News, I recommend, you know, in the spirit of Festivus, that you look at that algorithm a little more, because I'm not getting what I want. And that makes me sad. Let's see. So that is those particular things. A couple other quick ones here. Our good friends, France, they opened a solar road a couple weeks ago. That was pretty neat. So there is a link for that particular one. Let me grab that. Whoop, whoop. Paste that over here. And so with that one, you know, we've heard about them for a while. People have been kind of messing with it, but this was the first one they paved about, or I guess not paved anymore, but made a solar road that was about a kilometer long, so about a half a mile for those of us that are from America who struggle with the metric system. And so they're just going to try that out. They'd already been doing a small-scale testing like parking lots and on sidewalks and things, but this is the first attempt at a road that's actually traveled on. So I don't know. I think that'd be pretty neat to see, because I think the idea of, you know, the concept of solar powered roads are a great one. You know, it says most roads are only occupied or covered about 20% of the time. So it's a good chance to get a lot more solar energy. And they thought it would generate enough energy from the road to, I think, power all the streetlights. But then the real question is going to become, you know, with all the big, heavy cars, tractor trailers, all the dumb things that happen on roads, how well these things are going to really hold up. And this is one of those first real-world application tests. I'm kind of excited about that. Same as I'm really excited about, you know, earlier in the year, Elon announced the whole solar roof thing, right? I think it makes a lot of sense. Why continue to have these tiles or, you know, these roof shingles that just soak up all the heat and, you know, try to absorb it and dissipate it? Just suck them up, you know, take the electricity from it, or take that heat, turn it into electricity, and, you know, all the photovoltaic things that happen, and have fun. So, I don't know, pretty cool. I'm always into the solar stuff. And then the last one, you know what, I'll save that last one for Mr. Klint. So, all right, so I think that gets us through the topics I've had today. I promised you a shorter show, so I'm going to stop rambling. The only one thing I want to point out as well is that I am doing my PowerShell class, PowerShell 101. That's next Tuesday, January 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's only $99. It's 90 minutes of one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but one hands-on personal attention from me teaching someone how to do PowerShell 101. I know as show listeners, you're probably really well-versed in it, but you probably got those coworkers, those bosses, or those end users that you wish they would just understand at least the core of PowerShell and would start to, you know, achieve enlightenment. send them over to my class. I'll take good care of them. They'll have a fun time. They'll understand why you watch and listen to the show even after when it's done. So anyway, that is next week. So sign up for it. And I think on that note, I'm going to go eat some spaghetti because I'm hungry. I got some kids basketball practice to get to, you know, typical crazy Monday night. But again, welcome to 2017. Maybe Todd will be back next week. Maybe not, but we'll see what it does. All right. Thanks and have a great day.